Welcome to the KMUD News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. On this episode, we have in-depth coverage on controversy over Shelter Cove's new sports courts, Trinity County's June Board of Supervisors meeting, and Eureka buying the old Kmart location. But up next, a quick rundown of local headlines. This is KMUD News. Starting off with a quick note on the bentonite spill in Redwood Creek. We want to confirm reports that there is a stop work order for the ongoing last mile fiber optic construction in southern Humboldt. The Humboldt County Department of Planning and Building is according to other agencies taking the lead on the current investigation. We'll continue to follow this story closely and will be issuing additional reports in the near future. We want to emphasize that the spill does not pose any risk to humans and has been flushed out enough in Redwood Creek to likely not pose additional threats to wildlife. KMUD News visited the site yesterday and could not find any traces of the contamination still present, although bentonite is still likely present at lower levels in the creek bed itself. Up next, an alert from CAL FIRE. With a recent increase in fire activity, higher temperatures, lower fuel moistures, and minimal precipitation in the forecast, the extreme threat of wildfire impacting life, property, or natural resources is observable. Thereby, CAL FIRE is suspending, except within incorporated cities, the privileges of burning by permit and other uses of open fire in the geographic area described as all state responsibility area lands within Humboldt, Del Norte, and Western Trinity counties. Campfires within organized campgrounds or on private property that are otherwise permitted will be allowed if the campfire is maintained in such a manner as to prevent its spread to the wildland and other private property. In accordance with Public Resources Code, state rangers or other authorized agents of the Director of Forestry and Fire Protection may issue restricted temporary burning permits whenever it can be shown that burning or use of open fire is essential for reasons of public health, safety, or welfare. A campfire permit can be obtained at local fire stations or online at preventwildfireca.org. The order shall become effective at 6 a.m. Monday, June 15th, and remain in effect until CAL FIRE formally terminates this proclamation. Here are some tips to help prepare homes and property. Clear all dead and dying vegetation 100 feet from around all structures. Landscape with fire-resistant plants and non-flammable ground cover. Find alternative ways to dispose of landscape debris, like chipping or hauling it to a biomass energy or green waste facility. The department may issue restricted temporary burning permits if there is an essential reason due to public health and safety. Agriculture, land management, fire training, and other industrial-type burning may proceed if a CAL FIRE official inspects the burn site and issues a special permit. Next, we have a long list of roadworks that will be impacting Humboldt County in the near future. The Humboldt County Department of Public Works is preparing for construction work in various locations throughout the county, beginning on Monday, June 15th, and will continue through Thursday, June 25th. The following communities impacted by roadwork are Bridgeville, Carlotta, Arcata Bottom, Blue Lake, Trinidad, and West Haven. All roads will experience delays greater than 15 minutes with traffic control on weekdays from 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. and will require more than one day of roadwork. Construction will involve road preservation treatments such as chip, fog, and fiberized microseals to extend the pavement service life. Commuters are asked to follow all traffic control devices and signs within the construction area and allow for extra travel time when possible. These projects were funded by Measure O. Here's the roadwork schedule. On Monday, June 15th, Alder Point Road from Highway 36 to Sturm Road. On Tuesday, June 16th, Alder Point Road from Highway 36 to Sturm Road. Golden Gate Drive from Highway 36 to the end of the road. Ackerman Lane from Golden Gate Drive to Golden Gate Drive. Kemp Court from Ackerman Lane to the end of the county-maintained road. Roadworks for Wednesday, June 17th in Humboldt County. Lanfear Road from Seidel Road to Mad River Slow Bridge. Seidel Road from Lanfear Road to the north end of Seidel Road. Mad River Road from Miller Lane to the north end of Mad River Road. Roadworks for Thursday, June 18th include Mad River Road from Miller Lane to the north end of Mad River Road. Lanfear Road from Seidel Road to the Mad River Slow Bridge. Seidel Road from Lanfear Road to the north end Seidel Road. Mad River Road from Miller Lane to Lanfear Road. Miller Lane from Mad River Road to Hindon Road. Hindon Road from Miller Lane to Juntoli Lane. And finally, on Friday, June 19th, Hatchery Road from the bridge to the Hatchery Gate. Mad River Road from Miller Lane to the north end of Mad River Road. Lanfear Road from Seidel Road to the Mad River Slow Bridge. Seidel Road from Lanfear Road to the north end of Seidel Road. Mad River Road from Miller Lane to Lanfear Road. And Miller Lane from Mad River Road to Hindon Road. There's also more road work scheduled in Humboldt County for the week of June 22nd, but we'll update with that road info next week. And now, our main stories. This is KMUD News. Shelter Cove has been under fire from some critics, and specifically one very angry former resident, over the building process for their newly completed sports courts. KMUD News reports. The seemingly innocuous issue of new sports courts in Shelter Cove has become controversial of late. An individual and former resident of the Cove has filed a litany of complaints against the Shelter Cove Resort Improvement District staff and board members. The complaint centers around claims of financial mismanagement regarding the sports court project and how it was approved and built. This includes claims of improper paperwork, improper designations regarding the project, missing public records requests, and even missing inspections prior to the court's opening. We spoke with Shelter Cove Resort Improvement District Manager Christopher Christensen to learn more about the claims and his reaction to the allegations. So starting off, could you tell us a little bit about the process for awarding BDM Construction the $155,000 contract involving the sports courts project? Is board approval, including a roll call vote, usually required to approve a contract like that?
So, this is a really long history of a project. First of all, that was all board approved. The board voted to approve the contract for the construction of the Shelter Cove Sports Court. However, there was a resolution in the beginning of this project that delegated authority to the GM to conduct all negotiations, sign and submit all documents necessary for the completion of the grant scope. However, because this project was so public and a little bit contentious to begin with, I wanted the board to give the go-ahead on approving the project so that it was all in the open and transparent and voted on.
And then in terms of, after the construction, have the sports courts passed all the necessary inspections to be open to the public? Was that the case during the ribbon-cutting ceremony as well?
Yeah, so this construction project went through the whole Humboldt County Planning and Building Department process. Everything was inspected. I know there are at least four inspections of the court during its construction by the County Building Department. The first was before the concrete pour of the pad, checking the framing and the setbacks. And then the second was, I think, the ADA parking area and the sidewalk. Third inspection was the post-pour of that ADA parking area and sidewalk. We needed more truncated domes, they're called, the yellow plastic material that gets affixed to the sidewalk. So they needed a little bit wider truncated domes that was installed and some extra signage. And then there was a final fourth inspection that was made on May 21st, and they approved the project. It was sort of an informal ribbon cutting ceremony on June 6th. So yeah, the court was good to go by the time of that ceremony for sure.
Yeah. One of the things this individual is claiming is that you filed paperwork that showed the project had a value of $0 despite six-figure construction costs. Is that true, and what is the explanation for that?
Yeah, so I guess what that was a preliminary review form. It not necessarily have a value on those forms. The county will usually review them and then input a value based on information provided. It was sort of the beginning of the process. As it turned out, I did contact the building department to get some clarification, and they set the value at $194,940 for the court based on the contract and fencing, which they just give a standard of $12 per linear feet on fencing. What the district actually spent for the project was $191,000, so it's really close. Yeah, so this was just a pre-site application and preliminary review form figure that the county revises upon the review, which they did.
In terms of the permit to build these sports courts, it was under the alternative owner-builder permit. Can you explain a little bit of what that means and why this project was eligible for that designation?
Yeah, I'm not even sure where that came from. The type of use the county gave to the sports court was commercial. They told me that it would never have been built under that designation, and it was not designated that on the building permit. So I'm not sure. Maybe the preliminary form had that checked, and it was fixed later on.
And then the person making these claims is also claiming that there are delayed or improperly delayed public records requests from May 6th. Is that true? And
yeah, well, I'm not an expert on Public Records Act requests. There was an email received on May 6th, and then a certified letter mimicking that email on May 18th. The district did respond on May 18th. So there was a delay on that response. I have to acknowledge that. But calendar days, it would be 12 days versus 10 days, although there were 4 weekend days in there. I don't know if it matters. But since then, that Public Records Act request was satisfied actually on June 9th.
I'd just love some clarification on, you know, any, you know, material differences maybe in terms of how a resort district operates in Southern Humboldt versus, you know, a community services district or something similar to that? Or is this really just a kind of a difference in name only?
Well, to me, it's just a difference in name because we operate as a community services district. I'm not really sure what distinguishes us from the CSD. We have open meetings. The board votes on all our action items. You know, in my study of resort improvement districts, you know, there was a very brief window they were allowed between 1961 and 1965. And it seems to me like the biggest distinction in the beginning was that it looks like that non-residents could vote in the district, but that has never been the case for us. So I'm not really sure where that's coming from. Only registered voters that reside in the district vote on our board or our taxes measures or whatnot. They were passed to help the land developers set up multifunction special districts to serve remote subdivisions in rural counties, basically designed where people don't usually live full-time, more of a seasonal residence or area. But right now, the Shelter Cove, especially in the last 30 years, is a community services district. People live here full-time. We have, you know, year-round businesses. It's definitely a community, and everything we do at the RID is as a community services district.
I'd love to know more about how the public can access the sports courts. What's the best way for them to get scheduled or learn more about how to use this facility?
Yeah, so it's been open, you know, it's been used for, you know, since, well, even before the paint was dry almost, but it's open for everyone to use. It's right there on the side of the road at our community clubhouse location, 1555 Upper Pacific Drive. You can't miss it. There's no locks on the gates. There's an ADA-accessible portable toilet next to it. It's open. It's first come, first serve. There are some rules. You can read the signage on the fence. And what it is a full-sized, high school-sized basketball court and 3 inlaid pickleball courts. We have 2 portable pickleball nets on site that can be wheeled into place for use. And I know people have been leaving balls, like, so there's a few extra basketballs lying around. People can shoot hoops. So it's really just a great asset for the community. Seems like it's really well loved. People are really playing. You see people there every day.
We'll keep tabs if there are any more complaints against the Shelter Cove Resort Improvement District regarding its completed sports court project. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. With a multi-million dollar property purchase authorized by Humboldt County's Board of Supervisors, permitting will be centralized in a complex at the former Kmart site in Eureka. Daniel Mintz reports.
Humboldt County is going ahead with the purchase of a property It will develop into a one-stop permitting center for multiple departments. At its June 9th meeting, the Board of Supervisors voted to authorize the $5.75 million property buy, but the vote wasn't unanimous. The cost of maintaining what's blueprinted as a 55,000-square-foot complex led to a downvote. But in a presentation, Director of Public Works Tom Mattson said the property buy will fulfill the long-envisioned goal of bringing the many facets of county permitting under one roof.
Mainly, it will be the one-stop permitting center that we've been looking for a site for years. Planning department, building department, public works, and environmental services. So our customers can come in to one place and get all the permits they need to move a project forward. There are options to extend more programs into the space, including our motor pool operation, building maintenance, public works materials lab, and then possibly ag department weights and measures building. If we do that, we would free up space in downtown on the waterfront in Eureka. This is a conceptual site and program view. A note that planning has shrunk greatly since we put this together, so there's actually a little bit more room that we would be proposing to use for swing space for when we start moving other county buildings and redoing other county structures.
The property is located at 4325 Broadway in Eureka, once the site of a Kmart store. Walmart was interested in buying it at one point, but then backed out. During a public comment period, a caller identifying himself as a county employee noted that the property's in the county tsunami zone and said it's a, quote, bad location. But while that didn't gain traction in the supervisor's discussions, Supervisor Rex Bone raised his own doubt about how the county will maintain the new complex.
Unfortunately, I'm having a real hard time voting for this because we're not taking care of the buildings we have. I mean, I got waist-high grass at the Planning and Building Department not being attended to. I have to beg to get the front of the courthouse mowed. We let a Veterans Hall in Garberville melt around us, and so we took a minor problem and made it into a major problem until we had to tear it down and build something new. Unless I get a commitment that we're going to take care of the buildings we have, and I know we don't have staff, we don't have money, we don't have anything.
But Supervisor Natalie Arroyo said developing the complex, quote, has the potential to save us money and allow more space for departments that need it. She added that moving departments into the complex will open new opportunities for use of existing county spaces.
I just want to say for the benefit of the public, this has certainly been something we've had extensive conversation about. The conversation you're seeing here today is sort of the ending point of a long journey. So it would open up the opportunity to either sell or remodel existing properties to make those available for even more departments who are currently renting to move into them. So there's a little bit of a moving pieces around, or, you know, kind of setting off one domino and then the rest can go, those kind of concepts here at play. So I'm supportive. I really appreciate all your work on this. I appreciate the property owner being willing to work with us, and you know, there's no perfect property for us, but this is about as close as we can get.
Supervisor Steve Madrone said, quote, continuing to lease properties as a solution is what's part of what's driving our budget into the negative. The board voted 4-1 to authorize the purchase, with Bone voting no. He said he did so because staff hadn't responded to his questions about maintenance. Development of the new complex has a 5-7 year timeline. The funding for the buy comes from the county's 2020 finance plan, which is an internal borrowing mechanism. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
Trinity County held their June Board of Supervisors meeting last week. KMUD News reports. The June Trinity County Board of Supervisors meeting offered a view into current Forest Service activities and needed updates to the county's emergency communications system. We'll start with the U.S. Forest Service and their staff report on current Trinity County projects and fire prevention.
For the Forest Service, We recently sold the Bowerman timber sale. It was 650 acres of the Bowerman whole area. Our field crews are working on another section of the Bowerman, and then once they complete there, they are going to move over to the peak emergency area and continue work there, hopefully throughout the rest of the summer. The Forest Service is making great progress in the Hayward campground, where we are curtain burning, chipping all the timber and slash that's left over from that sale. We recently completed 17 days of planting in the Yola Bola district. It was 1,085.4 acres and approximately 286,000 seedlings planted in those 17 days. Weaverville and Big Bar readiness reviews. So the firefighters are going to start their readiness reviews this week in Weaverville and Big Bar. And then Hayfork and Yola Bola's readiness review will be in 2 weeks. And then the last thing that I have is the Secure Rural Schools Act. So it was recently updated, and the Washington office has directed fundings to local priorities. So the Shasta Trinity National Forest is working to set up the Resource Advisory Committee. It is 15 positions in Shasta and or Trinity County. So I do have the news release that was put out by the Shasta Trinity, and then I have a handful of applications that I'm hoping that I'll be able to leave in the back for anyone that would be interested. They can either be mailed to the district office, the supervisor's office in Reading, or they can just be hand dropped off to our front desks.
Next is Trinity County Sheriff Tim Saxon. Saxon shared a report on efforts to fix and maintain Trinity County's failing emergency communication systems.
Back in December, we contracted with Day Wireless evaluation on our aging radio system that, and you've heard me talk about this before, but just to kind of go over this again, for decades, very little has been done to upgrade our system other than a few maintenance things over those years. So we got our plan together through the CAO's office and through some coordination with OES. We have our plan and we're moving forward on this, on that. In January, the county formally designated the sheriff's office as the office of primary responsibility for the emergency communication system. We developed a budget line item for this, which is very important for transparency so that you and the public know exactly what monies were budgeted for this project and where we are spending those monies. Through those funds, we were able to hire a dedicated project manager to coordinate not only the contract, but the ongoing repairs for the system and to maintain contact with our contractor, Day Wireless. We also received some funding from the state early on to support some critical system evaluation and repair efforts. Some of that was done in April, where we replaced several of the antennas up on Oregon Mountain. Oregon Mountain is our main repeater location. So again, I'm just covering some things that you already know, just to give some background history. When we replaced a number of those antennas in April, we saw remarkable improvement in our communications, primarily with our volunteer fire departments in Lewiston, Douglas City, and Weaverville. That was short-lived. In May, we began to see some degradation in that signals, in those signals, especially with the pagers. We looked to Day Wireless to try and figure out that issue. Part of their evaluation back in December, they noted that there were several pieces of equipment that were aging and failing. They were going to fail. Towards the end of May, there was a significant failure in the paging system that necessitated extreme measures to get Day Wireless to come out with a technician to determine what was going on. That failure did cause a problem in Lewiston with the fire department not receiving pages. So on the, I believe it's the 25th, Memorial Day, my staff and I, we contacted Day Wireless and asked for emergency help on this. They did respond, sent a technician up, and determined that one of those pieces of equipment that was identified as called a duplexer had failed. And that controls paging out. That controls the paging for all the volunteer fire departments. They had to order it. This is not a part that you can just go down to the store and pick up. It's a significant piece of equipment. It has to be tuned specifically to the radio system that you have. Again, this is something that I can report today it's working. But again, I don't know how long this will last, as our equipment is aging and is already been identified that it will fail at some point in time. We are working diligently on getting quotes, bids, to find out in a priority order how we can get this equipment replaced based upon our budgetary needs. So we are working closely with Day Wireless on that. My instructions to them is our priority is FireNet services first. Get that done first. So they understand and they're doing it. In fact, yesterday I just received a quote and an invoice for the duplexers. So there are four duplexers up on Oregon Mountain, and the total cost on that, which I've already sent over to the CAO and he's approved, is just under $22,000 for just the duplexers. And so we are also working with OES on getting that amount approved through the grants up to state OES. So they're working on that too. So hopefully we're getting that working. So I just want to stress to you that having taken on this responsibility of the communication system, we do take it very seriously. It is a number one priority with regard to that. I just want the people of the county to know that we do take this seriously. We are working diligently on it. I want you to know that that each of the members of your districts should be aware of the fact that we're doing everything we can to maintain the radio system, to improve the radio system, and to fix the radio system.
We'll keep track of any operating changes or updates to Trinity County's emergency communications systems. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Bianna Federico, Michael McCaskill, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. Also thanks to our reporter for this broadcast, Daniel Mintz. KMUD News is online. You can find us on KMUD.org and now streaming on podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at KMUD News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Are there stories we're missing or that you're curious about? Give us a call at 707-923-2605. Or send an email to news@kmod.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Tsingkiyon, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilcut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.